And when God opened up the born again trail, there was quite a joke around here for a period of time that you're going to teach a bunch of preachers on being saved. I said, no, it's not like that. The first thing God did on that trail was open up the law. I could understand where Paul was coming from when he was so strong to say statements like, who has bewitched you? Because certain teachers from James came down and they was going to teach the people that in order to be saved, they had to be circumcised. Of course, Judaism is that the Gentile was accepted in the inheritance of Abraham when they was born again, but now to be saved, they had to go on to keep the law. And all they was introducing at that point was circumcision. But Paul's point was, if they believed they had to be circumcised to be saved. And so he says, who has bewitched you? So just taking that first step down that trail, he was vehemently, violently opposed to. Because to the Gentile, he just took us back to Adam and said that through the transgression of this man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And of course, then came the second Adam. But to the Jew whom he established the law with as the schoolmaster, the fact that the law could not save them is the point he had to contend with. Well, when he opened up the law, in understanding where the Jew came from and how free that we were, I took my whole next step into freedom after he showed me this born-again trail and who I'd become by a new nature. And when I understood that the law, the heart of the law, was the Ten Commandments, and that was what was actually fulfilled by the new nature, they could now keep it. Not by precept and animal sacrifice, but they could keep the Ten Commandments by nature. And it was that springboard that I began to see how absolutely free He had made me. And the more that I understand, by the moment, the freer I'm getting is what has happened to me in my nature. And when I was teaching as much as I could in the early service in New York, that at one point the freedom settled in so predominantly in those people that we lost control of them. They screamed and yelled and marched and ran, and it took me 5 to 10 minutes to resume teaching again. I couldn't get them calmed down. But underneath the shadow, you know, even as Solomon's wisdom was, it was just the type. He operated in the shadow and the type of the rebirth. Yet our new nature is to our spirit what wisdom was to Solomon's reign. And he taught in the shadow. And just like when you said, I'll know God the Father, I will know Him. Just like Moses, he picked you up and put you in the rock. And that rock that he put Moses in was a type of the rock he put you in when you would know God as your Father, Abba. He clefted the rock and put him in it. The day you said, I'll know God, you were born again. And that rock was a type of Christ. But he had to cleft the rock, and because Moses was unregenerated, he had a sin nature. And the closest thing you could say they were to what you have is saved. They were saved and waiting for the promise that every prophet and every teacher and Moses and even Adam, when he said, born of woman will come this man and he'll destroy the headship of Satan, the death. Every promise Jesus told the Jew, you search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And he said, they speak of me. the scripture. In Jerusalem, when I saw the old gate that Abraham came through on one of his journeys. At that point, I almost broke down and wept, but it was because of the born-again trail that he had just introduced me to. God couldn't have said anything that'd make me cry any harder when I was looking at those old gates that they uncovered that were, these eroded. And they said, undoubtedly, in Abraham's journey, when the city was there, he passed through those gates. And he said to me, your born-again experience passed through these gates, your promise. See? All the shadows and types spoke of him. You know what? Paul was very clear in Colossians that once that the thing is making, the shadow is here. Why would you want to try to live in the shadow and the thing that's making the shadow, which is the body of Christ, at the same time? Moses said, I'll see God. So he is unregenerated. And just like the man that steadied the Ark of the Covenant, he reached out and touched it. And a spiritually dead man can't touch the glory of God. It'll kill him. But you can. He clefted the shadow, the rock, and he put him in it. And he said, I'll see you, God. And when God went by, he had to cover him up. Had to cover him to be able to pass by. Not you. When you said, I'll see God, he picked you up and didn't put you in the shadow. He put you in the rock itself. You were born again. And then when he passed by, he didn't cover you up with the cleft of his hand. He stopped when he was even with you and stepped in. You were filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you have any idea who you are? Don't you have any idea the potential you have yet? Do you know who you are? You're the sons and the daughters of God with an inheritance. Do you know who you are yet? When you were adopted, he made it very, very plain in this adoption, you received his nature. And that's where we're heading this morning. He wanted to make it very plain to you. He wanted you to understand in your adoption, he gave you his nature. It said some absolutely incredible things. So in the study of this nature, where we're heading, of course, will be Galatians 4 in a moment. If you want to, you can put a marker in that to complement where we're at. And we get through passing and review for a moment here. Are you listening to me? You've been born again. Hallelujah. You've been born again. You'll put a marker and we'll kick in here where we've left off. He wants me to make this very plain. Hallelujah. Very, very plain. Then back to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, kicking off with our old familiar verse here again, the 12th verse. Now you receive not the spirit of the world. That's an unregenerated human spirit and the spiritual death that was in it that you inherited from the first man, Adam. Now you don't have that one anymore. That's not the one you received from God. Now that you're born again, you don't have that spirit anymore. You don't even have anything that resembles it. Now we receive not, that's it, not from God, the spirit that's of this world. Well, which one did we get from God? But the spirit which is of God. Now you notice that the word spirit again has the little s. And Paul is saying that he's talking about the spirit that you got is little s, referring to human spirit. And everybody makes that out to be the Holy Spirit. And again, it is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about your human spirit. So what he's saying, we didn't receive the spirit that's of the world, the one the first man Adam gave us, but the spirit which is of God. That's that born-again human spirit with the nature of Christ in it. The one that's from God. And now that you have His nature, He said that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Because once again, when you were spiritually dead, you had no capacity to understand the things of God. Because you didn't have a nature that could understand God. And He's talking about that state in the 14th verse. See, this 14th verse is talking about the natural, unregenerated man with spiritual death in his spirit. And he said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. There's no way a spiritually dead man can understand the things that is of the nature of God as pertaining to our sonship. They're only spiritually derived, understood, and received. You cannot discern them with your head. In fact, that discern is stronger than knowledge. It's stronger than knowing, stronger than knowledge, stronger than details, stronger than intellect. The word discern belongs to nature. If you don't have His nature, you have nothing to discern with. When Mama Piranha took her little baby piranha away from adoptee Mama Goldfish, and they went down the Amazon where the cows cross, because when Mama Goldfish, who adopted him, she'd pull his little die-die down and beat him every week trying to beat a new nature into him. She knew he was doing something at night he shouldn't be doing, like most teenagers, you know. Just pull a little deity down, just beat it every week, and just trying to get him to quit, but she couldn't. Because he had the nature of a piranha. He just wouldn't quit. So then Mama Piranha comes back, takes possession, and they're going down the river and these cows are crossing. She says, okay, son, this is what we're going to do. He says, never mind, Mom. I've been sneaking out and doing that all my life. In fact, one day I just started eating my goldfish friends. I just couldn't help it. You didn't have to teach him that. He had that nature. Nature's not your intellect. It's not your emotions. It's not your will. It's a nature. It's by which you understand what motivates you. You've been born again. You have the nature of God. You are now equipped by which you can know the things that have been freely given to you by God. Well, then He sent us a teacher that, like the other members of the Godhead, He has that same nature. I now have that nature of Christ. That means I have the nature of Jehovah, who is now my Father, and I also have the same nature within my spirit that the Holy Spirit has. Wouldn't it seem fitting that He'd step into you to become your teacher and to lead and to guide you into all truth? Wouldn't that stand to reason? Well, it said this natural man he was talking about in the first half of that 12th verse, that natural man, only thing he can understand is the things of spiritual death. He can't understand these things that are of God. Just death. What man knoweth the things of men, unregenerated men, save the spirit of man that's in him? Oh, who can know the things of God save that regenerated spirit that's in him? But when I was bound by spiritual death, that was my nature. How could I explore anything outside of it? I had no inroad. I had no capacity. There was no way to know things outside of my spiritual death because I could not discern them. Woo, but the day that I got born again, I received His nature in a capacity to discern, and God looked at me and says, now I'm going to give Him the teacher. And by my invitation, the greatest of all teachers stepped into my spirit. Then I said, I'm still too dumb to know what He wants exactly. Then He established a canon of Scripture and put them in my lap, and I said, I'm still too dumb. So He gave me a supernatural language of heaven to pray the mysteries of Christ against the day He can reveal them to me. I have been inoculated against failure. No wonder He'll take your reward away when you justify your failures. I'm going to be taught. I'm going to let myself be taught. I'm going to give myself over. I'm going to trade this vapor, He calls, the duration of my life. I'm going to trade it. I'm going to strive to get past servant, which is minister. The servant is minister of godly things. I'm going to strive to get past that to what King James translated slave as. King James translated out of the original language slave to servant. And then they translated servant to minister. He says, he that's great among you will be your minister, which is servant. But he that's first, he that comes in first, he said, let him be your servant, which translates slave. The first will be last. The last will be first. Many be called, few are chosen. Translation. Those that make themselves first, that you do, you exalt yourself, make yourself first in this kingdom, you come in last. So if you're robbing self-exaltation and glory and money from men, have a good time. It's going to be over soon. If you exalt yourself, God's kingdom, you'll come in last, for the first will be last. And the last will be first. Many be called, but this is the basis by which you're chosen. My call is sovereign. So is yours. In God's omniscience, all-knowing without time, He chose what you would be in the kingdom and chose salvation for Him. But in His sovereignty, your will comes in. You can do anything you want. I choose. It's my choice. I choose to follow what He predestined for me in sovereignty. The first will be last. Last will be first. Those that make themselves first comes in last. But those that make themselves last, that is the servants, the slaves in His kingdom, comes in first. He that's great among you be your minister. He that comes in first. First, let him be your slave. Well, I can see the way you're looking. I don't know if I'm going to be a slave or not. Everything you're looking for, from peace to joy unspeakable, full of glory, belongs only to that realm. Thank God I have a new nature. And I can freely know the things that be of the Spirit of God now. So in this 12th verse again, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but that born again, regenerated, hidden man of the heart, new creation, spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Now notice what Paul says here in 13, which we pass in review. Which things? What things? The things that are freely given to us of God, which Paul, an apostle who gave the foundation to the church, says, these things we can know of God that's freely given to us. In 13 he says, which things also we speak or teach, these things freely provided for us and given to us by God in redemption. Which things also we speak and teach, but not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Or we're teaching you not in the words of wisdom of the kingdoms limited to this earth that has come and gone, but in the words and the wisdom which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And how does He teach? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now before we move on, let's make this clear. So Paul says, we're teaching you how, he said, in the words and the wisdom that the Holy Ghost teacheth, by comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So the words the Holy Ghost used to teach us to compare spiritual things to spiritual is the same revelation that Paul was trying to teach the church. Now when you pray in tongues, as you know, just like money is a medium of exchange, you can take 100 acres and convert it into something temporary. The power of that 100 acres, what it's worth, is transferred into a medium of exchange, and you can put it in a little jar and then take it out later and convert it back into the land. Well, he said comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the mysteries that you pray in the Holy Ghost is the mystery of the understanding of everything Christ is in you and to you, the hope of glory. So now we have God, and He has all the spiritual things that we need to understand. And the medium of exchange that pulls it out of God and causes us to understand it by our spirit is that supernatural language of prayer when we're praying the mysteries of Christ. It isn't very long that a transfer begins to take place. That's why you're edified. The things of God, I begin to understand. I begin to discern them because the Holy Ghost will begin to compare the spiritual things of God to the part of me that can understand them, which is my new nature. Now, to compare spiritual things to spiritual, the second party, which is you, has to have something already in place, or there's nothing to compare spiritual things to. When you take two identical twins and you're comparing this one's nose to that one's nose, what comparison would there be if the second twin didn't have something you could compare what the first one had to? When he said comparing spiritual things to spiritual, when you were born again, you were translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light in His dear Son. You didn't come into the kingdom of God knowing everything, but you did come into the kingdom with a new nature, just exactly like God's, that you could be taught, that you could understand spiritual things. So that's the only thing the Holy Spirit has to work with. So He wants to compare the spiritual things of God to what? What do you got coming into the kingdom 3 seconds old that He can compare spiritual things to? What do I have that I can understand them with? A new nature. That's the thing about me that God finds, and the Holy Spirit finds, that is like my Father. It's like the duck egg, you slick it, you slip it in the chicken's nest, and he hatches out, and they're all eating and running around, and they get too near the pond. And baby duck, oh, he breaks for the pond and jumps in it. and just swims off, and the mother hen just is cackling and calling it back and having a fit on the shore. She can't understand it. But he can. Because he received a nature just like a mama duck. So he can understand duck things. Chicken has no way of understanding it. Just sheer fear at the bank of the water for the chicken. Not the duck. What has the Holy Ghost found when I'm 3 seconds old that he can compare all the insights and wisdoms and discerning of God with, if not my new nature? It's incredible where you find this new nature. It's absolutely incredible what he said about it. I mean, you find it in the most unusual places. And God wanting you to know that when you were adopted, when you was spiritually dead, and he come along and adopted you, he wanted you to know along with that adoption that it wasn't like Mama Goldfish and Baby Piranha where she pulled his little tie-dye down and just tried to beat that new nature in him. See, this adoption, he wanted you to know how far that it went. And he wanted you to know when you were adopted that in that adoption you received his nature. And when they kept trying to go back under the law, Paul tried to use the freedom of the new nature to prevent them from doing so. And when I saw that, this brought me to a whole nother level of freedom. I'm so free, I can hardly stand myself. Do you understand where we're heading? Oh, people. With embarrassment, I look back on the early days when God told me to stop and receive an outpouring here. And I thought, for some self-exalted, unknown reason, that the whole reason he asked me to do it, because of my fervent understanding of prayer. Oh, goodness, I look back on those days with embarrassment. Closer you get to God, said that fear is the beginning of wisdom. And we're talking about the awesome respect that is due to him when you start seeing by revelation for the first times who he really is. The closer I pull to him, I find out the less that I knew. And the earlier I was in my born again experience, the more I thought I knew. The more I pull into him and I get to see him, the less I found out that I knew. And that's only the part of him that has to do with humanity. Do you understand how much more there is to him? I mean, we get a peek what pertains to us, that he has a whole life, you know, a whole life out there. This way, way, I mean, you can't see the end of creation or anything. You're just a little bitty thing here, and he changed himself for your redemption and called you his son. You have a big part of his life. And you understand he existed outside of some time continual before anything ever was created. In the beginning, before anything had a beginning, he simply was. And now here you are. He already lived forever before you come along. Any idea how long that was? And the creatures around the throne, you know, I just see you getting to heaven and you can't find where you belong because it's not bright enough. So you need some direction because you can't see it, you know. You know, that's for laying around all the time and not even asking God what he wants. Thinking you're doing him some big favor coming here and sitting in a chair on Sunday, you know. So I can just see you go towards the brightest place, and that'd be around the throne. I can just see you're heading towards the brightest place, and these creatures say, "Can I help you?" Tapping them on, "Can I help you?" Or probably more like this, "Can I help you?" You know, I hope this don't take long, because I've been worshiping God for about 8,000 years, and I was just ready to break into an understanding of Him that I didn't know before, and then you tap me on the shoulder. So I hope this doesn't take long. I'll give you about 30 seconds. I need to get back in. I was just ready to see something about Him I never knew. So would you? What is it? Well, where's the secondary darkness area? It's down that road through those mountains, just on the other side. Okay. I just want to get back in. There's no way of knowing how big He is. But the one thing you can know, you're His son, and you're His daughter. And the part of it He gave to you is yours. For I have His nature. Glory be to God. So I can discern spiritual things. But let's look at this just a little bit deeper. Go on over to the Galatians 4. Hallelujah. So let's back up in the 23rd verse of the 3rd chapter and just read on through here, and we'll sneak up on the nature. We'll sneak up on that word nature in this 4th chapter. We'll begin with 23. Follow me very closely, please. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. 23rd verse of Galatians, the 3rd chapter. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor bond or free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, past tense, which I am, then I am an inheritor. I'm an inheritor. Are you Abraham's seed and have inherited our heirs according to the promise that was made to him? Now, yes, there's male, and yes, there's female in heaven. You know, you'll be the same gender when you arrive, yes. When he said there's neither male nor female, it's because your new nature doesn't have a gender. I've been born again. Now, Paul was contending with these Jews and these Judaizers that was trying to bring the Gentile Galatians underneath the law, and using his own coming out of the law and out from under the schoolmaster and receiving his nature and being justified by faith, he was arguing with them, presented an argument, and he used himself to hypothetically speak by. He said, you want to go back under the law? I came out from under it. So listen to what I have to say about the law. So then he begins here in the 4th chapter. Now follow me even closer. He says, now I say, he's qualified to teach because he came out from under the law. Now I say that the heir, that is the natural heir, speaking about the natural seed of Abraham, which is Israel. Now I say that the natural heir as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant. And the Greek word for servant here again one more time is slave. How many of you have a King James with a little letter by it and a rendering in the margin that says slave? Now what he's talking about here is in a household, they had heirs to the household, but in that household they also had slaves. And ultimately what he's talking about here is in the 8th chapter of John is the house of God, and what the Jew was the natural heir and stood to inherit the promise. But what he was saying, that the Jew, the natural heir, was no different than the slave in the household. They were under tutors and governors, but what he was really saying here is they both had the sin nature. So the Jew, who was the natural heir, had spiritual death in him, and so did the slave to sin has spiritual death in him. And that's why he said, he whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. And they said, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to no man. He said, he that sins is the slave to sin. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Meaning, unless you have these attributes that the schoolmaster has taught you through the Ten Commandments that has freed you from sin, then you're not going to enter into the inheritance of the Father. And notice what he's saying here very close. Now I say that the natural heir, as long as he was a child, differed nothing from the slave in the household, though he was Lord of all. He stood to inherit all as the natural heir, but he was no different than the slave. But he was under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, Paul hypothetically put himself in the position of every Jew, even so when we were children, were in bondage of the elements of the world. Well, now what bondage was he talking about? Oh, you don't have to go very far down into the chapter to find out the 9th verse. He says, but now that you've known God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, where you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years, as in Sabbaths and seasons and new moons. So in the 3rd verse again, he says, even so when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them, that was the Jew, which was under the law, that they might receive also the adoption of sons. Now, the heir, the natural heir, which is Abraham's seed, said they were no different than the slave when they belonged to this household who stood to inherit the promise. Which he's talking about the household of God. Because the Jew is as spiritually dead as the Gentile. So God says, enable for you to inherit, you have to be under a tutor, O Israel. So a tutor, a governor, is more like the law becoming the schoolmaster. It's more like this tutor, this governor, came to this mighty household and tutaged or taught this person individually. So he says, look, you're going to grow up and you're going to inherit what your father has for you to inherit. These are the attributes you have to have, or you can't inherit all that your father has. And I've been sent as a governor to tutelage you, to teach you the attributes you must have to inherit the inheritance of your father. And so the thing that he used, the heart of the law, the standard, was the Ten Commandments. That was the standard that Moses came down off the mountain with. That was the heart of the law. And when God took that old tablets of stone, took his finger, and he wrote the Ten Commandments. As you know, what the stone was a type of. Those stones was the type of the stony, spiritually dead heart of unregenerated man. So God took the Ten Commandments and wrote them in those tablets that represented the unregenerated Jew. But then again, he commanded the Jew to keep it. He said to inherit, you have to be able to keep this law, and wrote it in their spiritually stony dead hearts. And so this governor came to Israel, and they stood to inherit. And he said, you have to have these attributes or you can't inherit what your father has for you. And so he began to teach what was inscribed in their heart as a spiritually dead man. He said, look, you can have no other God before you. You will not bow down and worship any other, no grave. Anything created, you will not worship. You won't take His name in vain. You'll remember the rest you entered into when you received the new nature, ceased from the labor of your own sins, the type of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a type of. You honor your father and mother. You'll do no murder. You'll commit no adultery. You'll not steal, nor will you lie, nor will you covet. If you don't have these attributes working in you, you can't inherit. You cannot inherit. Well, they tried. And he said he had to add animal sacrifice because the only way they could keep those Ten Commandments is to murder an animal when their failure was laid on him in their place. Well, that's why Paul, when he talked about the law, he says, is the law sin? God forbid, being spiritually dead, I would not have known sin, save that tenth commandment, which is said, thou shalt not covet. A spiritually dead man has no way of knowing anything outside of his death nature. So all of a sudden, when the schoolmaster stepped up and says, thou shalt not covet, he tried to stop and couldn't because he found out His nature was to eat the cow when he fell in the Amazon, and he just couldn't quit doing it. So when the fullness of time came, here come Jesus, born under the law, born of woman, born under the law at the appointed time. Because he's born a woman, born under the law, he was in an obligation to keep the law. But the difference between him and any other person ever born under the law, as he is the first man to be born spiritually alive. So now, when it come time to inherit, he was the first man that had a nature that could keep the law, not by precept and animal sacrifice, but the first man who could keep the Ten Commandments by the nature which was given to him by his Father. So the fullness of time came. He fulfilled the law. He died for the Jew, fulfilled it as the last sacrifice, but also fulfilled it by the new nature because he could keep the law. So after he fulfilled the law by nature and kept it, stepped into every Jew's shoes who could not keep it, became the curse of the law, hung him up on a tree, freed every Jew from the curse of the law to receive the same adoption you and I received when we were born again, received the nature of our Father and inherited eternal life and entered into the household of God forever. Was I yelling? Yes, I was. But you got that? Do you have that? See in the fourth verse, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. To redeem them that were under the law. That we, hypothetically putting Himself in the position of every Jew, we might receive the adoption of sons. Now notice this sixth verse, a legal term. And because you are sons. See, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. That's supposed to be a little s. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Because you are sons, this is what he's saying. He wants you to know that he sent forth the nature of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Abba, you are my Father. See, he wanted you to know him, the adoption. Like when Mama Goldfish adopted baby piranha. He wanted you to know that even though she beat his little die-die just every day and couldn't beat a new nature in him. That's why he said, and if sons, and he has sent forth the Spirit or the nature of his Son. He wants to know that you to know, and that in your adoption, that you received the nature of his Son. That's what he meant when he said he fed sent. Everybody tries to preach that's the Holy Ghost. No, sir. He wants you to know that in your adoption, it wasn't you adopting something like of another species and tolerating it. He wants you to know in your adoption, because you are sons, that he sent for the nature of his Son, by which out of that nature you can cry, you are my Father. Now he uses that nature as an argument that why now that you have been adopted by a new nature, how is it that you would want to bring yourself, O Jew, back under bondage of the elements of the world, underneath things that by nature, that by nature are no God. Now see the seventh verse. Wherefore, 6 and 7 together being one thought. 6, and because your sons, God sent forth the nature of his Son into your hearts, crying, you are truly, truly my Father. Wherefore, or because of this, you're no more a slave to sin, but a son. And if a son, you have the full inheritance of your Father. Through Christ. Howbeit then, 8th verse, howbeit then, weighing these things, how is it? Explain to me, please. How be it? How can this be? Then, when you knew not God because of your sin nature, you did service unto them things which by nature had nothing to do with my nature, being like God's nature, me becoming his son. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them things which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or you have a nature you can know him by, and he says, let me step this up, or rather now are known of God because he's made you his son. How turn you again to the weak and the beggarly elements wherein you desire again to be in bondage? You endure days and months and times and years, and I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed this labor upon you in vain. What is there about God's nature and the observance of a day underneath the shadow? But once he that's making the shadow, which is the body of Christ, which you've been baptized into by a new nature, and once what's making the shadow is here, why would you want to go serve back in that thing which had no nature, that observed days and sacrifices and years and new moons and Sabbath, things that in themselves have no nature and have nothing to do with a Son and God? He says, why would you want to serve anything that now you've known God by a new nature and he has known you by that nature? Go back under the weak and beggarly elements and do things that are ordinances and precepts and laws that in themselves have no nature. Why would you want to do that? It's okay, see? Why would you want to do that? a friend of mine a long time, and I had to separate years ago because my vision wouldn't fit in hers. My image, my word, and I just couldn't go anymore. Go do any meetings anymore. You know, I was thinking that when somebody starts hitting full of revelation knowledge in the church they go to is dead. And after a while, they just can't take it anymore and they start looking for food. And I used to think that they was the limb God cut off of that tree. But now I found out that truth is truth by merit of truth alone. And truth isn't little truth and truth isn't big truth. Truth is truth. And it doesn't matter if 10 million people are wrong and you get popped out of them because you're right. You're the tree. They're the dead limb that got cut off of you. Truth isn't big. Truth isn't small. Truth is truth. Hallelujah. So I thought I was a limb getting cut off. It doesn't matter how many millions of people are wrong. They're still the dead limb that got cut off and you the tree. Quantity means nothing. Anyway, the Hasidic Jew at the Wailing Wall, well, they're waiting for the Messiah to come and deliver them. Anyway, they were, if you've ever seen them pray, it's with fervency. And I've been there at the Wailing Wall. And I watch them. And these people that keep the Sabbath and some Passover things probably. One of them tried to tell me at one time the Holy Spirit swept through and the Hasidic Jew at the Wailing Wall began to speak with tongues. And I said, excuse me, when you get born again and they disown you and bury you and bury you, disinherit you and your name's not mentioned anymore. You telling me they're speaking with tongues? Excuse me. Well, lately, one of those has been spearheading the gold dust. He's been God dusting people, you know, gold dusting. You go in a service and people's coated with gold dust and shaking it out of their hair. My old friend from years and years ago is kind of spearheading that. In our nation, that's where you migrate to that camp meeting. I've preached it in the past to get a dose. So once you come back with the flex on you, it usually begins in your church. You get a bunch of people with no foundation, coat them with a little bit of gold, and then you got them chasing signs and wonders. And then something like that will separate you immediately from your foundation. Because you'll just keep making God do more sensational things. I understand that the next evolution of that gold dusting now is people starting to fly. They're starting to lift up out of their seats. But that's okay, you know. That's okay. Just stay with the Word.
Amen.
You know, the documented history, there's been a lot of priests fly up and kiss the statue of the Virgin and fly back down. You can find that in testimonies all over. Stay with Him. You know, I don't want to worship any created thing. Why am I going to observe any days or anything who by nature are no gods? And if I'm worshiping Him out of the pureness of the nature He's given me, you know, and gold covers me, please don't come over and bother me about the gold. It'll leave me soon enough because I'm not going to receive it. And don't bother me when I'm worshiping out of a nature like His. And me and Him's in fellowship and communing. I'm not going to stop to admire anything in creation. Let me worship Him out of pureness and in truth. You see, what is the type of the glory of God? I don't want the type. I don't want the type. Hallelujah. I don't want the type. I can have the real. Well, if I've been coated, am I damaged or something? Are you kidding? Give the devil E and then fail him for effort. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if there's something more stronger, let me know, because that means I'm limited in what I can do. Please, I know my Father, and I know him by nature, and I know him by inheritance. Therefore, we do not have to be stopped. Stand up. Woo! Lift those hands. Oh, daughters and sons of God, lift them up. And just remember, you're out of those things who by nature are no God. You don't have to worship any created thing. It's you and him. He's waited and sought you out. He says he seeketh such to worship him. He's looking for you. God doesn't look for much, but for this, he's looking for you. He's seeking you. He wants something from you. He wants a fellowship that only possible through that nature. So don't stop with creation, for God's sake. Go past. Took him enough to redeem you and pay for it. Go past creation. Leave the days alone. These guys that the natural jubilee and send all your money in because you're going to magically be free of debt. You're free of debt 30 seconds after he said it's finished. Yes. You don't need anything else. If those ploys worked, everybody would be out of debt. They've had so many of them. You listening to me?
Yes.
I'm charged by God to get you to heaven with a reward. Are you listening? We're going. Not only going, we're dragging this city. Once we take one city, it'll be easier to take the next one. We're dragging cities with us. That's why tonight, calling in the lost tonight, we're dragging a city with us.